Hey, welcome to the Youth Edge podcast. It's the official podcast of the youth ministry at Capital Edge Church. My name is Hamish. I'm the youth pastor here. So grateful that you could join us. I hope that this message is going to encourage you and challenge you, because you know what? We believe at Youth Edge that no one is too young to know God, become like Jesus, and make a difference. And I believe that this message is going to help you do just that. Stick around for the end of the message, because I want to pray with you and just encourage you to follow Jesus. But without any further ado, enjoy this week's message. Open up your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. I'm going to be reading from here a little bit tonight. Luke chapter 22, verse 19. We're going to be doing communion at the end of my message tonight, but I'll talk more on that in a second. I'm talking tonight on the blood of Jesus. And we did a survey of the youth at the end of last year, and we asked a bunch of different questions, but one of the questions went something like this: is Jesus the only way to receive forgiveness of sins? And there was a fairly large percentage that said no, or I'm not sure. And so I wanted to teach on this tonight to let you know with clarity that Jesus is the only way to receive salvation. Jesus is the only way to have your sins, all your wrongdoings, forgiven. And Jesus is the only way to come to God. There is no other way. Jesus himself in the Bible, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." And so tonight we're talking about the blood of Jesus. And the main idea that I want you to get tonight is we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Now, right now, that statement might not mean anything to you. By the end of tonight, I hope it does. Luke 22:19-20. This is the Last Supper. And then Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise, the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood." Communion. This was the first communion. Two symbols, two emblems, bread and wine. The bread being Jesus' body broken for us. The wine being Jesus' blood poured out for us. And we know Easter's coming up next week. And we know that Jesus told his disciples that the next day, that was the eve of his death, he would die on a cross. He would be beaten. He'd be whipped. He would be mocked, scorned, made fun of. A crown of thorns would be put in his head. He'd have to haul this massive cross on his back up this hill called Golgotha, and he would be crucified in front of everyone to see. And so Jesus, he broke bread and he had communion with his disciples, and he told them that this juice, this wine — we have juice, we don't have wine, you're not going to get drunk tonight at church — but the juice or the wine represents my blood, Jesus's blood, poured out for you. And the cracker, or the bread that they would have had, represented his body broken for us. A question I used to have, and I grew up in church, so I should have known this, but maybe you've asked yourself this same question: why did Jesus have to die? How does Jesus's blood being spilled on a cross equal our sins being forgiven? Have you ever thought about this? Like, I know he died for our sins, but like, why? Why did he have to die? That's pretty extreme. Why did he have to die to forgive us of our sins? If God is all powerful, right? You might have been thinking this. If God can do anything, couldn't he have come up with another way? Surely there would be another way to accomplish this. And you know what? You're not wrong. Theoretically, God could have constructed the world in such a way that there was another way to forgive sins. But he chose not to. God chose for this to be the only way to forgive sins. Now, I might not know all the reasons why, but something I do know is that God does everything to glorify himself. Anything God does is to bring glory to himself. And so there was something about his son bleeding and dying on a cross that brought glory to himself. Is that a weird thing? Jesus, the Son of God, stripped naked, bleeding on a cross, humiliating, just degrading, the ugliest picture you would ever see. And that is what brings glory to God. That's messed up. I don't get it. You might also be thinking, God glorifying himself, isn't that pretty prideful? And if it was me glorifying myself, you'd be right. Or if it was Johan glorifying himself, then you'd be right. Because when human beings glorify themselves, they're proud and they're cocky, right? But everyone knows that they're sinful just like them. But the difference with God glorifying himself is that he actually deserves the glory. You deserve the glory. Only he deserves the glory. Why? Because he is sinless. He is spotless. He is perfect. He is pure. He is holy, and we are not. Whilst he is pure and holy, on the other hand, even the best person on earth is still filled with sin. I've thought about it this way. No matter how hard you clean your white shirt, no matter how hard you strive to keep it clean, it'll look yellow compared to a brand new white shirt that's never been worn. And God's standard is perfection. Some people think, I'm good enough to go to heaven. You're not. God's standard is perfection. Are you perfect? If you're honest, you'll say no. So based on that, you're not going to heaven. I've got you. Based on that, you're not going to heaven. We all miss the mark. It's like you're standing in line at a roller coaster ride, right? And there's a bar, and what does the sign say on the bar? It says, you must be this tall to ride. And we're all Cheryl's height. And no matter how hard she tries to stretch and get taller, she will never be taller. Sorry, I do not proclaim that over you. You can grow in Jesus' name. But we all fall short of God's standard. God says you must be this tall to ride. And this tall, the height of that tallness, is perfection. And we all fall short. It's like if we were shooting an arrow to hit a target, but the bullseye is the size of a speck of dust or the eye of a needle. You know how annoying it is to get a thread through the eye of a needle? Now try shooting an arrow through it from 30 yards away. That's how difficult it is to reach God's standard. It's impossible. And so because we are sinful and unclean, and because God is holy and there's no trace of sin in him, we cannot come to God. We cannot get close to him. We cannot approach him. And yes, God's presence, it fills the whole earth. But if you have sin in you, you cannot have a relationship with God. You cannot touch him. There's a large gap between us and God that we cannot cross. And that gap is sin. So the question is, how do we deal with the sin that divides us from God? The answer is and this will shock you. Death. Death deals with the sin that separates us from God. Romans 6:23 says that sin is paid off by death. And so if you have sin, when sin has been committed, a death must occur to atone for that sin, to pay for that sin. When you do something wrong against God, someone needs to die to pay for that. In the Old Testament days, back in the day, I wasn't there, but I don't know. Actually, I'm the oldest person here, so maybe I was there. If Pastor Alan was here, I was going to be like, oh, Pastor Alan. But I'm the oldest person here, so maybe I was alive in Old Testament days. But no, thousands of years ago in Old Testament days, an animal had to be sacrificed every time someone sinned. You lie, kill a goat. You look at someone with lust, slaughter a lamb. You cheat on a test, strangle a chicken. An animal had to die for every sin committed. God said to his people in the Old Testament, he said, life is in the blood. And I have given you the blood of animals to sacrifice in place of your own. So you've sinned and you deserve to die. But God says, I will allow you to kill an animal and the animal can die instead of you. Out of God's grace. See, some people think in the Old Testament, God was just harsh. But out of God's grace to us, out of God's grace to his people, he made an allowance so that they wouldn't have to die. But still, they had to slaughter so many animals because sin requires a payment of death. When the people spilled the blood of innocent animals as sacrifices to God, they were also making a covenant, an agreement with him. This agreement was that God would cover their sins and they would live submitted to him. They would obey his laws and they would belong to God. I'm going to read from Hebrews this passage. Hebrews is a fantastic book. We might study it maybe next year. And this passage I'm about to read, I want you to listen to it because it's a long bit of scripture, but it connects Jesus and why he died on the cross to all this Old Testament stuff about animal sacrifices, okay? This is going to make sense for you. Listen up. Then Christ went once for all into the most holy place and freed us from sin forever. He did this by offering his own blood instead of the blood of goats and bulls. So instead of animal sacrifices, Jesus offered himself and his blood as a sacrifice for us. According to the law of Moses, those people who become unclean are not fit to worship God. Like what I said, anyone who sins is not fit to worship God. Anyone who sins cannot have a relationship with God. Yet they will be considered clean if they are sprinkled with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of a sacrificed calf. So even though they sinned and they were dirty, God would look to them as if they were clean if they were sprinkled with the blood of animal sacrifices. The blood of the animal would cover them. But Christ was sinless, and he offered himself as an eternal and spiritual sacrifice to God. Animal sacrifices weren't eternal. They lasted only for that moment. But Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice forever. Oh. This is why his blood is so much more powerful. And it makes our conscience clear. Now we can serve the living God and no longer do things that lead to death. Because of Jesus, he not only pays the price of sin, but he enables us to live free of sin. If you're a Christian, You shouldn't have to be addicted to pornography. If you're a Christian, you shouldn't have to live under the condemnation of sin, because Christ's blood covers you. Christ doesn't have to get up on the cross every time you sin. If we were in Old Testament days, you'd have to slaughter a lamb every time you sin. But Christ died as a lamb slaughtered forever, for all time. And so his sin covers you for eternity. And now he brings his chosen ones a new agreement with its guarantee of God's eternal blessing. We have a guarantee of eternal life with God in heaven. Christ did not have to offer himself multiple times. He wasn't like a high priest who goes into the most holy place every year, every day, day in, day out, to offer the blood of animals. If he had to offer himself every day, he would have suffered thousands of times since the dawn of the world. But instead, near the end of time, he offered himself once and for all, so that he could be a sacrifice that does away with sin. We die only once and then we go to be judged. So Christ died only once to take away the sins of many people. But when he comes again, it will not be to take away sin. He will come to save everyone who is waiting for him. Hey, before you go today, I want to give you an opportunity to make a decision to follow Jesus. You know, in the Bible, it says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So if that's you and you want to declare that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you're ready to believe that God raised him from death to life, and if you want to make a decision to follow him today and become a Christian, how about you pray this prayer with me? Come on, close your eyes and bow your head. Dear Lord Jesus, today I declare you as my Lord and my Savior. I believe that you died to pay the price for my sin and that God raised you to life. I accept your gift of salvation, and from today, I choose to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, congratulations for making that decision. If you prayed that prayer for real in your heart today, I want to hear from you. So send us a message on Instagram at Youth Edge, and we want to get in touch with you. God bless. We love you, and we'll see you next time.